Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano, I can say my name. Sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, joined in studio by Fred Jackson. And now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. And if I'm not mistaken, that is another new Paisley shirt.
I've worn this one once before. I don't think you're on the show.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that explains it.
Yeah.
I love purple. I'm a purple, black, and blue person.
So like Bruise colors.
Yes, I guess that's true. If there's a bruise, I like the color. I'm not a big, red or loud yellow or pink person. So anyway, I like it.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
All right, what's up?
All right. Hey, a couple, a week or so ago, President Trump was, reporters were talking to him, and I don't know how it came up at that point, but he said he's hoping that this peace deal goes through, because he wants to make basically enough points to get to heaven, right? And at the time, a lot of people said, well, there's some mixed up theology there. We might have even said it on the show here. That's not exactly, he should know better. Peter Ducey followed up with him on that. Now that the peace deal has been structured, he asked him, now do you feel like this is going to get to heaven? And I got to tell you, the answer that President Trump gave was the saddest thing I've heard all day. And I mean, I literally am mourning for this. I'm sad about this. It doesn't make me angry or anything. It just makes me very, very sad. Let's listen to Cut 15.
You had talked a couple weeks ago, you were doing an interview, and you talked about how you hope to end the war in Ukraine because it might help you get into heaven. How does this help? Does this help?
I mean, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven, okay? I really don't. I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly an Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven, but I've made life a lot better for a lot of people.
Yeah, we talked about this, and Steve, you played this for us in our story meeting. Now, Fred, we do want to be careful about this, discussing the state of another person's soul, okay? But that, I think, all around the table, I mean, Brent Creeley, our producer, was in there. Chris Woodward was in there with us because we do go over our stories. We can't cover everything, folks, but we do try to pick some of the more meaningful stories. And Steve played this, and all of us said that was sad, that I hope that President Trump understands a little better than that about how people get into heaven. Mm-hmm. And it was heartbreaking. If you love what President Trump has done, and I love his personality. I don't always like everything he does. I'm from that neck of the woods up north. I don't mind people who are brash and who are bold in what they say. So I kind of love President Trump's personality. Don't always like the way it comes out. We've talked about all that. He sometimes is his own worst enemy. Okay. But I want him to go to heaven. Absolutely. I want Joe Biden to go to heaven. I want Kamala Harris to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm not wanting people not to go. And it was sad to hear him say that he doesn't think he's going to make it. Now, for our listeners, and we can kick this around a little bit. That's what we decided to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he's not going.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because he may misunderstand biblical theology, it doesn't mean he's not going. But I want him to have the assurance and the peace that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ died for him.
Yes. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith.
Yeah.
Not of ourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know President Trump has been exposed to gospel preachers.
Right.
Pastor Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas, in his first time at the White House, Pastor Jeffress was frequently at the White House in the Oval Office with him. And I know Pastor Jeffress has testified that he has shared the gospel. Right now, there's a there's an office at the White House of faith leaders. And there are people like Gary Bauer, who we talked to, who's a born-again believer. So I believe he has been exposed to it. But that's not always the case that you completely understand it.
Right.
If you just took that comment that we heard on Air Force One, I guess last night, Peter Doocy talking to him, you would say he is thinking works will get him to heaven. He's not sure he's going to make it. He's not sure he has enough works yet in the bank. Well, we know you can have all the good works in the world, and if you're depending on that to get you there to heaven, that is not going to work. We talked in our discussion this morning. We talked about the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
And this is not an original thought. But the thief on the cross did not have a lot of theological knowledge.
Right.
But what he did do that day was he trusted Jesus Christ.
Right.
And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It just takes a bit of faith to make salvation possible for you. You don't have to understand everything. I think President Trump, perhaps, is just not there in his understanding of it yet. And we pray that he will get to that point.
Where
hopefully this comment, people hear it, and perhaps, you know, Christians who are close by there in the White House will say, can I sit down with you, Mr. President? And just let's talk about this.
And our listeners who are Christians will continue to pray.
Absolutely.
For the president.
Absolutely.
So, Steve, I'm sure that President Trump, I'm sure he's lived a tough life. I'm not saying tough. He lived a privileged life with wealth. He was very successful. I'm talking about the moral component to his life. I'm sure he realizes the closer he is around Christians, he probably realizes that a lot of things he's done in the past were not morally proper, were not right. Okay, that is overshadowing. Maybe he just can't get out from underneath that. But what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I know he heard the gospel presented at least a half a dozen times just at Charlie Kirk's memorial alone.
Yeah.
So he has heard. I'm having a hard time getting the logic of somebody that thinks that they've become a Christian but doesn't think they're going to get to heaven.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't think he's going to get to heaven, I don't think he thinks he's a Christian. If he doesn't think he's a Christian, then maybe he accepted trusted Christ and then they did something that he thinks undoes that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the most gracious explanation I could give, the most hopeful, I should say. But I don't know how someone thinks they're a Christian doesn't think they're going to be going to heaven. Paul, I mean,
it's
who hasn't done things in their past that they wish they hadn't done?
Right.
None of us are going to make it if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, folks, we did want to bring this up in the grand scheme of things, internationally or nationally. One man's fate, eternal fate, may not seem that important. But President Trump is not just your average person. He's very out in public. And we did want to bring this up. We were all we were all very saddened to hear him say that. I would be saddened to hear anybody say it. So please be praying for President Trump. Like I said, we don't know what the state of his soul is, but he's got the wrong idea about whether you can whether he's going to get into heaven if he has truly put his trust in Christ. So anyway, I don't want to go down, you know, into a deep, deep theological discussion. Most of our people who are biblically knowledgeable understand what we're asking you to do, which is to pray that President Trump, if he has attempted to put his trust in Christ, that he would gain an understanding of that. And that if he's said the words, but wasn't sure what they meant, that God the Father would draw him.
A thought just occurred to me. Can I add on to this? you know, when he said his the statement about, oh, I hope my good works can get me to heaven a week or so ago, whenever he said that, no doubt the word got around to him through his Christian advisors, Mr. President, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
How it works is you have to trust Christ. Someone who's in the process of coming to Christ has to come to the point where they realize that their good works aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
And that they have no hope outside of trusting in Christ. And there is, for many people, a period of time when they've come to that realization, and yet they're not still able to yield their entire life.
Yeah.
And so maybe he's in process. That is a point down the road where, you know, someone says, you know, I didn't understand completely, but now I think I do understand that my good works aren't going to get me to heaven. And so there's got to be another way, and I'm maybe it's closer than we think.
Yeah. All right, folks, you got your assignment. Pray for the president. Pray for his political enemies too. We need to remember that the calling of the Christian is not first and foremost to politics. Okay, that's an outworking of our faith. Just like feeding the poor down at the local soup kitchen. Our job is to love our enemies, to pray for them, to do good to them. So that's our assignment. Our assignment is to pray for President Trump and pray for his and our quote-unquote political enemies, because that's part of the calling of the Christian in the world. So,
Amen.
All right. Steve, let's move on.
All right. The whole world, I think, is celebrating the return of the hostages in Israel. And I was listening to Ben Shapiro. I regularly listen to his podcast. He is in Israel for the holidays and was invited to be in the Knesset for that speech. And just there's so much emotion going on over there. I found an interesting conversation between one of the hostages. His name is Omer Shem Tov. He was abducted from the music festival. He was returned in February. But this was, you remember, between the music festival in February, we had an election here.
Yes.
And it's interesting to hear what his perspective, what the... Hamas perspective was on the election. He has a little bit of insight into this. He says, cut 16.
Yes, it's him. He got me out. He got the hostages out. Before, we felt like nothing is happening, you know? And I remember there, ever since he came into the world, they were very scared of him. Yeah, they wanted...
Who?
Terrorists.
We're afraid of Trump.
Yeah, they wanted Kamala to be chosen, to be elected.
You talked politics with them?
Yeah. They wanted Kamala to be elected. But as soon as Donald Trump was elected, they understood that he wants to bring the hostages back home. Yeah. So immediately the way they treated me changed.
You don't think elections matter?
Wow, that's astonishing, Fred. What that former hostage said about the political realities here in the United States and how they impact what's going on in the Middle East.
Hamas, this is what he said. Hamas wanted Kamala Harris to be elected president. A brutal Islamic terrorist thought they would have a better future under Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. They were afraid that Donald Trump would be elected.
I think they were right.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does that say? Just because you're a terrorist doesn't mean that you're not smart.
Right.
In an evil way.
Yes.
Right? In an evil way. So what did they see? That would be my question. If a Hamas terrorist turned from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
I would love to sit and talk and say, why did you think Kamala Harris would be better for you as a terrorist? And we could speculate on what they would say. But I would say that very weak. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris were very weak people. They did not understand how evil we are. And they were willing to appease and go along. Unlike Donald Trump, who took action and said, you better or your days are numbered.
I'm just going to say, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that I can't put I can't get in the mind of a Hamas terrorist. But in terms of what Mr. Tov, is that his last name?
Tov, yes.
Okay. What he's saying, I think it might have to do with who would take the stronger approach against anti-Israel protests here in the United States, who would be more likely to stand firm with Israel.
Yes.
I think Biden / Kamala Harris clearly would have put more pressure on Israel.
Yes.
And maybe even gone so far as putting sanctions on Israel. Mm-hmm. And if your last name is Soleimani, okay, or later on, you know, in our, what Trump did in Iran, okay, these terrorists understood the nature and the character of Donald Trump. He's a business kind of person, and you don't want the U.S. military turned loose on you.
Yes.
And all of that goes into what you're saying, Fred, and what this young man was saying.
I was talking with Heather last night about and what was it that Donald Trump had that Joe Biden didn't have and everything. I think Joe Biden and the Democrats and maybe every Republican, every president, everybody before Donald Trump always looked at this problem from a Western mindset, which is if you negotiate, this side gets a little, this side gets a little, we can find that place where everybody's happy, it's a win-win, and everybody's going to live in peace.
Right.
That is not the mindset in the Middle East. All they understand is strength.
Yes.
And so you, the way you win a war is not by negotiating a settled peace, it's by destroying the enemy.
Right.
In the Middle East.
And that's why people have said the bombing of Iran was the change point.
That was a game changer.
That changed everything, because Hamas, not only Hamas, but, you know, you have other countries, whether Qataris and everybody in that neighborhood, the Middle East neighborhood, understood then that Donald Trump wasn't just talk. He did it. He sent those B-52s in there. In fact, part of his speech, I think, in the Knesset the other day was, I love those B-52s, you know.
And the B-2s.
And we're going to order another 26 of those things. So, I mean, what he was saying is they made that decision to go in there. And so the Middle East community knew this is a man of his word. And if he says, we'll help Israel destroy Hamas, he meant it.
Yeah, and it's not just the will. It is absolutely the will. I'm not disagreeing. Absolutely the will. But also the ability.
Yes.
What the U.S. pulled off, and what was it? These guys flew these bombers for like 48 hours or something.
I think they come out of Oklahoma. Yeah. There's a base there.
Yeah. They'd be refueled three times.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That you have these bombers impervious to radar. Okay. They're stealth. And so it's the will plus the ability to do it.
Yeah.
And these terrorists knew if Trump gets elected, and then after he got elected, he's liable to send a cruise missile into my apartment.
Yes.
I don't know if it was true or not. I think he was being serious. Donald Trump, he was joking around during his speech. He said, these planes, they're invisible. Even the pilots can't see them.
Yes. I wanted us to find that because I think he was trolling, obviously, the reporter. But he said, yeah, even the guys working on him can't see him. That's a funny line. The president's good at trolling. All right.
All right. Hey, let's do you want to retire sometime, Ed?
Do I want to retire sometime?
Sometime, do you think?
Yeah, when I get enough money, you know, you could get enough money to retire.
Say that you decided to change, well, maybe you had some really good share-a-thons or whatever, and you started making some Whoopi Goldberg money.
Yeah. Maybe if I got to $30 or $60 million, I might think about retiring. Yeah.
Whoopi is making $8 million a year on The View, and she's supposed to be between $30 and $60 million. Yet when she was asked about retiring, well, this is what she said. Cut 20.
Do you ever think about going down to enjoying this?
Yeah, but who can afford to do that? Who can afford to start? You know, if you don't marry well, you got to keep working.
I feel like you might be one of the people that could afford it by now.
No, not by now. Not yet.
Look, that's just patently absurd. Now, folks, we were kidding. Steve and I were joking around about me wanting to retire and me needing $30 to $60 million. I knew what the numbers were that she would be talking about. That's patently absurd, Fred, for anyone. Maybe she's serious. Maybe I don't know what she spends. And New York, does she live in New York?
I believe so.
Okay. I don't know how much it costs to live there, but I don't know. Maybe she's right.
Yeah, well, Mom Donnie's coming after her.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
My advice to Whoopi, if you want to retire, is move to New Jersey.
You better get going now. Yeah.
Before he gets elected.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I think some of the financial experts now, I've actually seen this, they say you need between $1.5 and $2 million to retire. So... I'll be working for a long time.
That's right.
I will be getting ready for work on the day I die. I'm guessing if that's what you need.
And you're going to tell everybody it's because you love your job so much.
Yes. But really? I love my job. And what else am I going to do?
If I could just find the office.
Well, listen, and there's a lot of people listening. It depends where you live, obviously, and it depends what your lifestyle is. Maybe Whoopi Goldberg. She said if you marry well, then you don't have to worry about it. Well, I married well, but it has nothing to do with money.
No.
My wife and I always joke around, there is nobody on either side of the family who's rich. You know, at least one, why didn't one grandparent have a bundle to send down the line? But most of our listeners are probably in the same boat.
Yes.
So,
hey, I introduced you guys to a new sport during our story meeting this morning, and I wanted to let you guys kind of go off on this. It's called Ice Wars, and they put together a mini hockey ring. This is the size of a boxing ring.
Yeah.
They will dress up two combatants in hockey gear.
On skates.
On skates, ring a bell, and they have a hockey fight. And then I don't know how they declare the winner. It's probably not by knockout, but because hockey – never get to knockouts.
Well, every once in a while you do get one, but that's pretty rare. Fred, you and I were talking, okay. Now, you and I are one of about, I don't know, four or five. There's 130 people working here at AFA/AFR. Probably four or five, maybe a sixth that we just don't know about.
That's
that likes hockey.
A secret.
Doesn't want to admit it.
A secret hockey fan. We get tired of people saying when we mention we like hockey and they go, oh, yeah, I went to a fight last night and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah.
How many times I've heard that? And this just walks right into the stereotype.
It does. It does. Hey, listen, we're not denying that fights do break out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hesitate part of the game, but it's a rough sport.
It is.
It's a rough sport. And by the way, I'm trying to remember if there was an incident where somebody actually got hurt. I mean, these guys have full equipment on.
Yes.
And many times they start with a smile at each other.
Yeah. Right?
This is part of the...
Because what they do is they'll say, you come up with a face-off, and you and me, Fred, and I'll say, or you say, hey, you want to go?
Yeah.
And they say, yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go, and it's kind of for the fans. And then when it's over, you can hear these guys when they're mic'd up. They'll say, hey, good fight, man.
Yeah. They laugh at each other.
Yeah.
You know?
I have seen, every once in a while, seen someone bleeding from a punch. But and while they're fighting, now they're doing their job. That's not pretend, but... So I don't like this sport. This war on ice thing does such a disservice to true hockey fans. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. But you know what? There's more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Keep listening. And Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow. And by the way, pray for the president.
Yeah.